14 in front of 6 o'clock. Time for the best 5 minutes of the day. Jason Cairns. We are winding down the eighth month of the year, meaning for 2 2/3 years, you've been joining us here early in the morning. And I just want to deeply and sincerely say thanks, because just for me personally, it's awesome to talk to you for these 5 or 6 minutes every morning. And I know a lot of listeners have reacted positively. So thank you for doing that.
You're welcome. And thank you for the opportunity. I have also very much enjoyed just the chance to talk with my friend for a few minutes every morning, never quite knowing what will come up. And we've been able to talk about a lot of different things, and it's been fun.
Yeah, yeah. So it's kind of crazy, just one day at a time, drip, 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 just like the coffee pot, right? So, all right. Yeah,
absolutely.
I was thinking in my head that we were coming to the Katrina anniversary, but I'm not, when I say it happened today, at least the first one I'm looking at, I think it's August 30th or August 31st, wasn't it?
I don't remember, honestly.
Hurricane Katrina.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, of course, during the Bush years. Here we go. 2005, as I say, in the face of looting and the rising water, martial law was declared in New Orleans and Jefferson Parish, Louisiana, due to the damage caused by Hurricane Katrina. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hard to believe it's that long ago already.
I know. There's just so many things that we say that about, right? I mean, it's just...
Time really flies.
It does. It does. And it just we continue to marvel at that all the time. So winding down, August, a question. I was at a gathering at church on Saturday. It was like small group leaders. I think I told you this. I'm going to lead a men's study on that little paperback book from Tim Keller, The Freedom of Self-Forgetfulness, right?
Yeah, you did. Mm-hmm. That's very exciting. That's such a good book.
And in fact, kind of the plan is going to be, I think the small group's going to go 8 weeks. And so we're going to just maybe, there's the intro and 3 chapters. And so basically we'll read a little bit and talk. And I'm just going to go through it twice because, but using you as an example, I heard about it from you, read the copy I got from you. And that's a book you read multiple times. And great books and great songs, great things. You're somebody who's kind of modeled that for me, that you're like, hey, I'm going to keep doing that and get it into me, right?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a good idea, especially when we encounter things that can be so profound. And I think the other thing that's interesting for me is when I have reread things re-exposed myself to certain things, you know, I meet them in a different place than when I first go through them. And so it's interest or a way to pick things up that maybe you didn't see the first time around. And as we kind of marinate in it over time, it can be really helpful, I think, for us.
It's funny you say that because we're going to go to Scripture now. And again, getting to near the end of the Sermon on the Mount. It's got 28 verses, and we're verses 21 through 23 today, which are powerful ones. But, I mean, a lot of times that's the way it is with Scripture, right? I mean, it hits you, and then you come back, and you're like, I've heard this a bunch of times, but I never quite saw it this way.
Absolutely. I think that's one of the reasons we keep going over it again and again.
Because we change, and then we grow, and then we see it and hear it differently, don't you think?
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, that's part of where the idea that Scripture is living and active, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the idea that, we meet it as readers in different ways.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, we've got these power-packed verses today, Matthew 7, 21 and through 23. What did Jesus say?
Yeah, it says, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws.
All right, so that's some tough words there from Jesus. And how does Jason handle that in his letters to the beloved devotional commentary like this? He says, my son continued condemning hypocrisy. Using my name while you talk or saying many Christian phrases will not get you into heaven. Remember that my kingdom is not some far-off future place. It exists among you. Life with me means following my son in the ways of love. Many people talk about their religious activities, but when those activities come from a place of self-promotion and not love, how can they possibly reflect Jesus? If you insist on self-glorification rather than other-centeredness, my son will declare that he does not even know you. Thoughts?
Yeah, that's a heavy set of verses.
It is. It is.
I think. Yeah. It's. I think. But again, I think it's that when we do not live with love and other-centeredness, we're not reflecting Jesus. Jesus, Thomas Merton said that if you're living from your false self, God can't even know that person because it doesn't exist. And you know, and I think that's this idea that Jesus knows our truest selves, and that self that he knows is the person of love, is the person of other-centeredness. And so to try to live from that centered place is, I think, our daily call.
The way of the Lamb is always love, right?
Amen.
All right. Absolutely. Can't close on a better note than that.
Well, maybe you've enjoyed a water park so far at some point this summer. If you haven't, you probably want to listen to Win It Wednesday tomorrow because there may just be a chance to go to the Dells. But what happens when you get to the top of a water slide? You see rules, right? You see some rules. You must be this high to ride, et cetera, et cetera. But also, a lot of times it says, Havo, take off your sunglasses. And that evidently is with very good reason.
Divers at a Michigan aqua park went under their water slide to see what they could find after a busy season. This kind of reminds me, like with golf courses, you see what you can find in the various water hazards. You get a lot of golf balls. Well, guess what you find at a water park?
Well, they pulled out, first and foremost, 142 pairs of glasses, most of them sunglasses, some prescription glasses. And that, I mean, you would think you would want to go back for those. But maybe, again, if you're like me, you'd be fumbling around so much. That's why I wear contacts when I'm at the water park.
Yeah, for sure. That's smart. 142 pairs of glasses, but also, how about 11 Apple Watches?
Wouldn't you think you would try to find that?
Those are kind of expensive.
I suppose you submit a claim to Lost and Found or something, and then they say they can't find it because it was in the water under the water slide.
Yeah.
They also found 6 pairs of goggles.
3 wrenches.
Who has a wrench in their swimsuit pockets?
3 of them.
2 Fitbits and more, all found underneath one single water slide.
So our tip to you in the latter part of the summer is if you're going to a water slide,
follow the rules.
Yes, good idea.
And fasten that Fitbit or that Apple Watch on just a little bit tighter.
There you go.
Tuesday trivia here on the WIBWIB Wake Up Show, 715-723-2555, the number to dial if you think you have an answer to our query this morning, or even if you don't, because it's fun to guess. 715-723-2555. Now, we have two, not one, but two prizes for you. So we just had the privilege of interviewing Mikey from Seventh Time Down, and they have a brand new album out called By Faith, hot off the presses, proverbially, and we have that for you. By Faith, the new album from Seventh Time Down. But also, for you fashionistas, we've got, I believe this is called a trucker cap, and it's black and white and red, and it says, Let's Have Church on it. And so, yeah, that's something very interesting that I think somebody would absolutely love. So whether it's for you or for somebody else, we've got the Let's Have Church ball cap, and we've got the new album from Seventh Time Down. If you can answer this, 715-723-2555. It is said that the average person will spend 14 days of their life doing what? The average person will spend 2 weeks, a full 14 days of their life, doing what?
All right, for the Seventh Time Down CD, their brand new one, and also for the
Let's Have Church.
There we go.
Trucker ball cap.
It's the kind of cap, like, wouldn't a rapper wear or something?
Maybe it kind of has. I mean, I'm not cool, so I don't know, but it has kind of the flat brim.
Somebody who is cool would wear it. All right. Good morning. You're on the WIB Wake Up Show. What's your guess?
Is it going to the bathroom?
You know what? I appreciate right away that you got that out there, and you know, because some people would be too shy. It's not what we're looking for, but thank you for calling in and try again.
723-2555. The average person spends 2 weeks of their life doing what? 723-2555. Good morning.
Hi, is it brushing your teeth?
Is it brushing your teeth? We've got two in the bathroom so far, and it is neither one. But thank you for the guess.
All right, and we can just get out of the bathroom. It's not bathroom related.
715-723-2555. The average person will spend 14 days or 2 weeks of their life doing what? At least it's said, it's rumored that this is true.
And after you told me the answer, I guess there's part of me that wonders sometimes when I've done this, I'm surprised it's not more than that. So
I just think on my deathbed, I'm going to say I want those 2 weeks back.
Yeah, right.
It said the average person will spend 14 days of their life Doing what? Not using the restroom, not brushing your teeth.
Nobody on their deathbed says, I wish I would have done this more.
Yes, that's true.
Good morning on the Wib Wake Up Show. What's your guess?
Is it crying?
Crying?
Yes.
No, it is not crying. But thank you for the guess. Call back, please. I mean, and there's good crying, and then there's the rough kind of crying. I mean, there's the good kind of crying when my kids and I were watching a bunch of emotional, like, Facebook reels the other day, like, of soldiers returning home and things like that. That's a good cry, I think.
And there is no crying in baseball. Good morning. What's your answer here on the Wib Wake Up Show?
Is it hiccuping?
Hiccuping. Is it hiccuping? It is not hiccuping, but creative guess.
Yeah, that was.
The average person will spend 2 weeks, a full 14 days of their life, doing what? It's not hiccuping, crying, brushing
your
teeth, or going to the restroom.
Hi. All right.
How about opening the mail?
Opening the mail and hopefully not getting paper cuts. Not opening the mail. Try
Sorry
again.
About that.
715-723-2555. That's our studio line, 723-2555. For the brand new album, By Faith, from Seventh Time Down, and a cool trucker cap that says, Let's Have Church.
All right. So the lines are empty at the moment. Any other hints we can give?
This involves your
travel.
Vehicle.
Yeah.
Involves your vehicle. It said the average person will spend 14 days of their life doing what? I think that's a pretty big hint.
That's a pretty big hint. Hi, good morning. What's your guess? Hold it. I'm going to get you waiting on the air. Go ahead.
Waiting for getting oil changes?
Oh, waiting for oil changes.
Good guess.
Yeah, in a way, I think you have part of the answer, but no, it's not oil changes.
Good morning, WWIB. What's your guess?
My guess is waiting at red lights, at stoplights.
Yes!
Bam. Just like that. That's all there is to it.
You are absolutely correct. The average person will spend 2 entire weeks of their existence on God's green earth waiting at traffic lights.
Is this Mark?
Yeah, that's me.
Hey, Mark, way to go.
Thank you.
Congratulations. What's your general opinion on traffic lights? Too long, not too long enough, or just about right?
Well, there's plenty of them, especially on Business 53 by the station there, too. There's some long ones.
That's
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, we were kind of talking about it. There's certain ones. And again, if you're a regular commuter, you know there's always one stoplight that seems to take way too long on your commute. I know the exact one on Bird Street
going north. Yes.
Yeah, for me, it's the one turning south onto Business 53. I'm over by Walmart over there. And it's just, you have to hit it right or you're going to be there for a while.
Congratulations, Mark. Thanks for listening, and we'll have your prizes at the front desk, okay?
All right. Thank you so much.
It's 2022. We don't hear a lot of those switched at the hospital at birth stories anymore. But we do have one today. I mean, you'd think that there's a lot more foolproof procedures for IDing babies the moment that they are born. But this is something that comes from the mid to late 90s, not in the USA, but still fascinating tale we have for you today.
Yeah, back in 1996, twin boys were born in China. In the hospital, one of the babies was accidentally switched with a third unrelated child. So the one twin, this is complicated, and a non-twin baby were sent home as twins, and the solo twin went home with other parents.
So this is not just two people switched and sent with the wrong families. This is a pair of twins divided and sent to different households, and a third completely unrelated child sent home as if he were a twin. So 21 years later, in 2017, the twins finally met, and because, you know, this is the century we're in, they sued the hospital over the mix-up. Hey, bro, let's litigate.
It's not limited to the U.S., I guess.
No. How did they meet? This is what's very interesting, I think, Alvo. How did they eventually figure this out?
Yeah, it seems that people around town would call one twin by the other's name and vice versa, and the twins would ignore the hellos. And after a while, a mutual friend of the twins realized they indeed were twins and got them together. So I guess we should read from that they were identical twins?
I guess so. And again, they never figured it out. It took a friend saying, you know, you guys really look alike and people always mistake you for one another. Do you think there could be something going on here?
I mean, I like to say with my friend Jason Can sometimes, hey, we're brothers from another mother. But these guys were brothers from the same mother.
They were indeed. Don't know how that lawsuit turned out, but at least they found one. I mean, family's more important, right?
Right. Wow. That's something. That is
I don't know what happened to the third kid.
Switched at birth story. All right. It's a Wib Wake Up Show, WWIB. Maybe you've been there as a student who leaves the house. You go off to college and your parents do something with your room. And it's a question of how quick that happens. Many moons ago, Caleb, I left suburban Milwaukee, Wauwatosa, as a graduate of the class of 82, 40th reunion, September 10th in Tosa, and came up to Eau Claire. And I think my room stayed for at least the first year. And then, you know, eventually I think the house got sold even. But that's a big question that parents face, right?
Yeah. Well, and the other question is, I guess, if you are a parent thinking of renovating the room after your college student moves out, do you do it when they finish college or right away when they head out to college?
No, I mean, this are going to come home.
Yeah, this never happened to me because I shared a room. So there were always younger siblings
there,
in it. But apparently,
you're the second of nine, so.
Yeah, apparently 84% of mothers, at least, already know what they're going to do with their kids' empty bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
A third of them say they'll immediately use the space for their own clothes and shoes.
But which is really funny.
Just been waiting, you know, bye, son, and now I've got some extra storage. I don't know. I mean, and again, there's, you know, it's an emotional parting, but I suppose there's some extra space. I don't know. I'm so sad when I left home.
We've got six other options that people go with. For instance, some of them make a guest bedroom is the most popular choice.
Yeah. Or, again, got someone not using the room anymore, turn it into a guest room. Number two is to turn it into a gym and exercise room.
Depends where it's at. If you had a basement bedroom, that may be very convenient. A third choice is turn the child's bedroom into a computer and reading room.
The fourth most popular choice for mothers, what become of a new college student's old room, a dream walk-in closet.
Pretty nice. That sounds like the clothes and the shoes you were talking about. A fifth choice is a dedicated room for the cat or dog that you're taking all those pictures of.
I guess so. And then the sixth most popular, what will become of a new college student's old or empty bedroom, a game room.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's kind of fun. I just think, like, when they come back, I mean, there's always that, you know, slight consternation. It's like, well, what happened to my room? I know I go to my grandparents' house in southwestern Iowa, and I don't think my grandma changed anything after my dad and my uncle and my aunt moved out. I think she left it all the same.
Yeah, here's the thing. If they go with the guest bedroom, I mean, that's, you know, no big deal. But if you go, well, I'm just going to go and sleep in my room. Like, well, you could, but it's actually dedicated to the cat and dog.
Yes, so we can use the pull-out couch for you, but that's the cat's room now.
Please, don't mess it up for the dog.